That's great to see everyone out today on kind of a rainy and cold day. It's good to have the visitors here with us. Hope you enjoy visiting with us today. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, the first 11 verses, 1 through 11. Those familiar know that it's talking about the Tower of Babel. Don't want to confuse that with Washington, D.C., where it seems they do a lot of babbling over there. So seems like they can speak for hours and not say anything of import or commit to anything. But this is, of course, the Tower of Babel, and it's an important story. We kind of relate this to our children to talk to them about the different languages that resulted from that. But it does tell a very important story that we need to know today. As a little boy, he was out in the backyard playing by himself, and he started through the backyard wearing his baseball cap, and he had his bat and ball with him. He says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," he announced, and he tossed the ball in the air. He swung at it and missed. Well, he tried again. He swung at it and missed, and of course, he swung at it again, you know, kept telling himself, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," but that didn't seem to really give him enough skills or confidence to hit the ball. So he strikes out, and he's got kind of a little disappointed look. But then he thinks for a second and says, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." He struck the guy out. You know, worship for some is seeking some sort of benefit in their lives. Satisfaction or knowledge that will improve their business, their financial lives. We know some people will join a church because, you know, the right people go there. They can make connections, both socially and business-wise. We strive to be independent. From our earliest days, we desire to do things for ourselves. But we cannot please God seeking it on our own by our own ways. We cannot find God on our own. God had to find us first. When it comes to worshiping God, He is the one who supplies what we need. Now, I've said this often before, I don't know how to save myself. I don't know how for you to save yourself. Except that Jesus, through His Word, through the Scripture that we have and His apostles, that we have a way to be saved today. I couldn't concoct this plan on my own, but through Him. So the story of the Tower of Babel describes man's effort to reach God, like we could find Him and travel to Him. The world gathered at the plain of Shinar to build a tower and make a name for ourselves. The plain is in the land of Babylon, which God used to represent man-made religion. In the end times, Babylon and the plain of Shinar will once again become a place where man-made religion exerts itself against God. You know, pride is a sin which keeps us from God. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is a sin that entered Satan's heart and caused him to fall from his place of honor among the holy angels. Isaiah 14:12-14 tells us that. So Satan at one time was very important in God's kingdom and very high up. But pride caused him to desire to take over heaven himself, to take it over. That's just the opposite of Christ, who being God, not just an angel, but being God himself, did not find that he needed to stay that way, but that he became man. And he humbled himself even to death for our sake, that we learn in Philippians chapter 2. So pride is a sin that leads the way for man-made religions and keeps us from enjoying God's salvation. We want to do it our own way. You know, the Bible tells us that it's God's way or the highway, so to speak. But with man, it's kind of the other way around. Let's read our scripture before we get too deep into this, and that's Genesis chapter 11, starting with the first verse. "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, They are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Verse 9, therefore the name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Ashuratan 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived and fathered Arpachshad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. So we see that these are the children after Noah and the flood. When they came together, they sought to go and be like God. They sought to join together instead of dispersing like God wanted them to, but to be one people and to achieve things that God was not ready for them to achieve. Now today, there are many things that we've achieved over the centuries, and you know, people in that time would look at the things that we have, and they would think that we were some sort of spirits or gods in some sort of way by all the things we do have. So, but this is a story about wanting to be like God. The motivation for building the tower. The builders of Shinar wanted a tower that reached to the heavens. That was a tower, you know, that it was a tower was not a problem. It's the motivation behind the project. They wanted it to reach the heavens. They wanted it to reach all the way. It was a statement that represented the heart of the post-flood people to establish a way to reach God through their own efforts. Now, they knew they had, they were descendants of Noah and his family and the flood. So they knew there was a God. In Noah's time, not many people believed there was a God except him and his family. So the tower was most likely a form of what they call a ziggurat or a pyramid. And we found these towers in Babylon. Many people in the cultures made similar towers for worship. The pyramids in Egypt, the ziggurats of Babylon, the Aztec temples in Mexico and South America, all follow a similar architecture. So when God dispersed the people, they went throughout the world. And we've learned, you know, over the past, we used to think that Columbus was the first guy to come and explore the New World. And of course we find like Viking artifacts and things that are out here, and we know that they came. But man populated the earth way back when. Some so-called experts propose that the reason for the similarities is that ancient aliens gave that design to the people to assist primitive earth dwellers. Well, there's a much simpler explanation besides that. And why these people who call themselves experts would believe in ancient aliens more than they would believe in God is kind of confusing to me. But because these people had built these similar towers, they just took it with them when God changed the language and dispersed them. So the tower was built for two reasons, to reach God and to be God. Rather than waiting to hear God's voice, they decided to attempt to reach God on their own. They were going to pay him a visit. The statement in Genesis 1:4, a tower that reaches to the heavens, does not mean that they thought they could break the limits of the atmosphere. It's kind of a hyperbole, with the intention that they would use the tower as a place of worship. They were going to get closer to God. And, you know, people today build very fanciful churches. I don't know if some of you get the Texas Co-op magazine, but they had an article in it this month about painted churches, and you know, there's a lot of great art and stuff, I would say, in these places. And we've all seen the churches, a lot of them in France, where the architectural element is flying buttresses, where these kind of winged like support structures outside the building allowed for a very open structure at that time, because they felt it would get people closer to God. And they felt that if they could get close to God for their worship, that they would be near Him. But there's no physical way to get near God. Only in a spiritual way. Only in our hearts can we get close to God. So, that was the spiritual power they were looking for. It also represented the desire to be God. God instructed Noah and his sons to fill the earth in Genesis 9:1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." God wanted man to inhabit the whole earth. So, number one, they were disobeying God. Two, they were trying to reach God in their own way. And three, as we learn, they would advance too quickly. Now, it's kind of funny to understand some of the great advancements that science has made. It was as a result of the postal system. You know, what does the post office have to do with scientific research and everything? Well, there was a definite way and a definite, you know, way you could get a message to someone. In the olden days, I guess, basically, if you want to talk to somebody, you had to go and meet them. I don't know, you know, you couldn't write and have to dispatch someone. And, you know, if they didn't know the other person, how were they going to give them a letter? In Paul's time, well, you know, a letter was given to someone who knew these people, and there was that common connection. But that was a time that could connect people together, and, you know, that's when we started making advances in science and other type of research, when scientists could write to each other and talk to each other and say, "I want this to go to this particular street, to this particular address, and to this particular person." And someone who didn't know the other person could say, "Well, I can find that street and I can find that address and give that person that letter." So, being able to communicate together would allow for advancements that God was not ready for them to advance to. And slowly but surely, in many ways, we're becoming, doing these things that God would be left up to miracles and be left up to what God wants us to do. You know, 100-something years ago, we couldn't fly. You know, not until hot air balloons were built in the 1800s could man actually experience that. Before then, you actually had to have a miracle in order to do that. So, man is advancing. So instead of listening to God, they sought to follow God in their own way. Not to fill the earth, but to try to worship Him in their own way. So we can learn a little bit about ourselves from the Tower of Babel. First, we learn that as people created in God's image, we have great potential. Genesis 11:4. They said, "Let us build a tower to reach the heavens." We kind of think that all the ancient people back then were kind of like cave-dwelling numbskulls that, you know, didn't have a lot going for them. But that's not the case. Great advancements had been made, and the library in Alexandria held great secrets and great things that man had created. But when it was burnt down, not like today where we can have data on several different computers and not lose it, they lost all this ancient knowledge that they had. So they did make a lot of advancements, even despite language barriers. So we have to think, consider Noah, who with God's help built an ark that shipbuilders would be proud of today. He built quite a large ship by himself. So God created in each of us, in humanity in general, He created us with great potential. He wants us to thrive. Humankind, you know, has sent man to the moon, examined the far reaches of the universe, and uncovered the genetic code of life in the DNA. We're constantly learning about what God has created out there. As believers, we await the day that only God can bring, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters have covered the sea. That's in Habakkuk 2:14. We look forward, and of course today, the Bible is spread across all the land out there. Not many people are willing to pick it up and blow the dust off of it and look and see what God wants us to do. You know, God's response to man effort was to say, nothing they plan or to do will be impossible for them. So God's plan didn't include that again, as I said in that time. Then we also learn something important about ourselves. We think we can reach the heavens without God. We think that we can sit on our throne, some people, orchestrate the world, and accumulate riches and protect ourselves from bad economy and the things that happen. So the builders of Shinar made two statements that represent their disobedience and disregard for the Creator. And they can be represented by millions of people today if we want to look at it. The first is, we don't need God for spiritual enlightenment. They were going to reach Him on their own. The tower was for worship. And the structure of this passage demonstrates man's attempt to reach God. We can't know God on our own lest He come down and give it to us. Lest He came down and gave us these words. Lest Jesus came down and died on the cross for us. We don't have a chance. We can't know God without that. And yet some people today think they can know God or guess what God wants. Mankind attempted to reach God, but we can't commune with God on our own terms. That's the pride of man. We reach God and we commune with God on His terms through His Holy Scripture, where He leads us, and through our prayers, where we beseech Him for the things that we need in life and for those we care about. You know, we attempt to reach God in many ways. And, of course, at this time of the year, good works is one of those things that a lot of people focus on. Human effort and religion. They say, well, you're talking about religion. We're in a church. But religion, or man's religion, is based upon how they want to worship God. In other words, on this scripture here, there's another document. If I take this lesson and put it on there and say, well, that's our doctrine. That's what we follow. Oh, yeah, it goes back to this. But, you know, we're a little bit smarter, and we add this to it, and we think this is better for today. But that's not the case. We have the Scripture. God has given us everything that we need. He's given us the way to salvation. In the series I did on why we're a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, all of that leads the way is that we follow God's plan, and we listen to Him. We don't listen to man. So everything we say here, everything the teachers say, everything we say in life, should be able to be confirmed and judged by the Scripture. So when I talk about religion, that's what I'm talking about. But a relationship without God can only be found when we accept the love that He has demonstrated to us and is culminated in Christ's sacrifice. His birth that many have on their mind during this season just meant that salvation was coming near. People forget that Jesus grew up, had a ministry, and that He gave us some commands, and in a sense, deputized to His apostles to explain that better, to reinforce it, and to give us other commands, as He went on to be, to sit on the right hand of His Father. So, it just meant that the sacrifice was coming near, and that salvation was coming near when Jesus was born. It was the beginning of His ministry, and those people had hope then that maybe within their lifetime, the Messiah would do the things that He was going to do. The second point found at Shinar is that we think we can rule on the earth without God. That's man's other problem too. The builders of the plane had a political motive for building the tower. They wanted to control their world without the help or guidance of God. They wanted a world empire of human origin. But since this is God's world, the only way we can properly understand it, enjoy it, is when we operate according to His rules. So let's look at their efforts. In 11.3 and 11.4, they had bricks, they had mortar, made a name for themselves, and they were not going to be scattered. But man is assembled together, and they have built great things. We fly around, millions of people every day fly around, you know, in airplanes, and we drive in cars that allow us to do speeds that were unheard of back then. We have weaponry that unfortunately can destroy a lot of things, and of course we do have medicine, and we're grateful for that, for the advances in medicine. But we're slowly becoming more like God, as God said then. Not that we have supernatural powers or anything like that, but that we're starting to do some things that previously before needed a miracle from God in order to be healed or to straighten things out. And so there's less reliance on that. We trust in those things. We trust in these man-made objects, and that's what they're striving for. And so today, like back then, man has little use for God. So the faithful do, those that come to church, those that follow God and worship God, but there's a lot of people out there. They'll never see the inside of a church because it's useless to them. To them, it's just fairy tales. It's quaint stories of old and how people used to explain the things that happened on the earth. But God wanted them to be spread out upon the earth. So he spread them out. So there is a problem of thinking that we can rule the earth without God. And it's unfortunate because it has led to the problems we have today. We have so many great advances in science, and yet so many people with problems in their life that they can't solve. And more people are taking antidepressants than at any time in the world before. And I firmly believe that's because they have no confidence in what's out there. To them, there's no future but what life they have on this earth and what little work they put into it. And then, of course, as all people do, we pass on from this earth. For the Christian, there's hope. We have life in us. And even during the dark times of our lives, there's hope within us. So, in 72, Francis Schaeffer wrote about society with pretty good accuracy and authority. He recognized that America was departing from our Christian foundation. He saw what was happening in Europe and knew that America was headed down the same path. We removed God from the public sphere, and therefore lawlessness would follow. He wrote, without a transcendent source of meaning and law, societies move into either anarchy or authorizationism, such as Marxism. And that's from Schaeffer's book, How We Should Then Live. Schaeffer was said that without God-centered moral foundation, society would crumble and revert to either anarchy or oppression, either mob rule or a central government that controls everything we do, that tells us what to eat, when to eat, what we should do with our lives. If we're not moving enough, they'll get us moving, and things like that. And that's what we're moving to. Less trust in God. And he was true about that. Now, I've heard many atheists say, oh, well, the Christian said as soon as we said there was no God that lawlessness would break out. Well, it's slowly getting there. You know, we have, I think, a bunch of kids on the dart train beat a guy to death just a few weeks back. Terrible things like that. Cruelty to animals and all this. And we can see that come. What the atheists and evolutionists don't understand is when they gave up belief in God, they were also raised on those beliefs. So they still had those things in them. But over time, I think we're going to see less and less of these morals being taught in life, and more of this kind of behavior that comes out. The Babel effort of to build the Tower of Babel is in our world today and active. And that's not to say we shouldn't strive to have better medicine, to have better ways, and not everything that science does is bad. It gives us a lot of great things that we enjoy each and every day. But the world is striving for that one world governance. They're striving to replace God from the public square. The law on Christmas grows stronger and stronger each year. Now, of course, we know that Christmas is not, in a sense, is not even really a Christian holiday. I mean, it had Jesus been sanctioned his birthday to be worshipped, and the apostles didn't mention anything about it. But it is the one time that people, even though it's probably a bad guess as to when Jesus was born, that people kind of focus maybe on that one time. And they think a little bit about charity, and they think a little bit about that, about Jesus' birth. So, in that way, they see it and attack it as a religious institution. Even Pope Benedict called for the formation of a one-world governing agency with a unified approach to religion and economics. The Vatican called Monday for radical reform of the world's financial system, including the creation of a global political authority to manage the economy. And that was not too long ago. That was October 24th, 2011, the Associated Press reported that. So again, freedom of religion could be something that might be under attack again. We wouldn't think it would be, but it could be. Financial Times in 2008 says that it seems everything is in place for the first time since Homo sapiens began to doodle on cave walls. There is an argument, an opportunity, and a means to make serious steps towards the world government. They all feel that God is a fairy tale and that Jesus was delusional. But Isaiah 2, verses 10 and 11, Isaiah 2, 10 and 11 tells us, "Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled. And the Lord alone can be exalted in that day." The lie that man perpetuates is that we can reach God, and they've changed it to we can be God. They can be the God of their lives, and they can be the God over all the forces of nature and everything. But that's not actually true, is it? We can't defeat the forces of nature. The truth is we can commune with God only when he reaches us. Only when God reaches down to man do we learn how we can be saved and how we can live our lives. John 15:16 tells us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask your Father in my name, he may give it to you." And also, 1 John 4:9-10. "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he had loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And that's the great story today as we approach Christmas. It's not that unto us a child is born, goodwill and peace to man, but that God sent his only Son so that there would be peace between us and God. Everyone keeps seeking that elusive peace on earth between nations, and it's never going to happen. Not as long as prideful men do the things that they do. But peace between you and I, that through Jesus' sacrifice, there's peace between God Almighty and us. And we can live our lives worshiping him. And he will save us in the end. And we will live eternally with him. That's the true message. Not peace on earth, but peace in heaven is what it should be. So the Tower of Babel. We can't reach God on our own. And we can't be God. Only God can be God. And we humble ourselves in his presence and know that only he can save us. And only we can accept that salvation. It does take that on our part. It does take us realizing that we're sinners. Realizing that we need to repent and change our ways. And turning away from those ways, confess that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save us through his sacrifice, because he is God, the Son of God. And that great sacrifice is enough that that blood can cover the whole world, and yet so few accept it. And accepting him, as Paul said with that show of good conscience, that God, I am going to do what you tell me to do. And that even though it's just dipping yourself in water, just being buried in water, but Jesus said to do it. He commanded his disciples to go out and baptize the world. And that, as Paul told us in Romans, that we die to ourselves just as Christ died on that cross. And that we're buried, that old man or old woman. And that we rise, that new creature. And that we walk in his steps forever and ever. And we change addresses when we pass on this earth and go to heaven. And we continue to walk with him. That's the great message that we have today. Man is never going to solve everything. Man is not the answer for the ills of the world. God is that answer. And until more people start looking towards him and following him and obeying him, the world will continue as it's continuing. And sometimes some of the signs out there just don't look too good. But take heart. God will be with his people. He'll be with his loved ones. And he'll be with us to the end. That's the important thing. I don't know what your condition is this morning. Maybe you need to repent and come back to the church or change your ways. Or maybe you do need to obey Christ and take those steps that I talked about. Whatever they might be, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?